This is Voices of the Middle East, another installment on KBOO 90.7 FM, and I'm Gudarz Ekhtedari, your host. For tonight, Thursday, October 13. Welcome to Voices of the Middle East. Tonight is Thursday, the October 13th, and I have the pleasure to have one of the very distinguished professors of Portland State University, Professor Yesilada, Berol Yesilada. He is a professor of political science and international studies, and also he's an endowed chair of contemporary Turkish studies in Marquardt Hatfield School of Government. Dr. Yesilada is an expert on European Union, and last week, finally, EU decided to enter the negotiation after some talks in starting with Turkey, and it's very appropriate to have a little dialogue here. And I would like to first welcome Professor Yesilada to the program.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming. I was planning to have Dr. Yesilada and also another professor at PSU, Dr. Anastasio. Both of them are working on a very, very interesting project in Cyprus in making peace initiative between two Greek and Turk Cypriots. And I think it's a successful project, so to speak. And so I promise the audience another show in near future to have both of them here and discuss that problem in the heart of Europe. But now let's get an EU 101, so to speak. I'm not sure if all of our audience are familiar with the European Union, how it started, and what are the goals and objectives of the union, and where they are right now as far as the process of establishing the constitution?
Yeah, that's very good. In a nutshell, what European Union started as in the 1950s and what it is today is completely different. And it has changed beyond leaps and bounds and beyond recognition of the original founders. Initially started as a six-country union, a very basic level, like a trade area, like NAFTA, to coordinate policies between France, West Germany, Italy, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg for steel and coal production. Later, it was so successful, it turned into an economic community covering more areas of economic activities and largely in agriculture. That's one of the oldest and fundamental policies in the EU. Over the years, more countries joined it and was pretty much a Western Union experiment. However, the EEC from early days, in the early 60s, started looking at other countries that could join it in the future and reached towards the Mediterranean countries and signed association agreements with both Greece and Turkey in 1961 and 63. So this relationship goes way back. It's over 40 years of economic integration. European Union now has 25 member states. The largest and most complex enlargement took place last year, May 1st, 2004. 10 countries, Central and Eastern European countries, plus Cyprus and Malta, joined the EU. And that completely changed its characteristics. The former French president, Giscard d'Estaing, basically said European Union now is way beyond the original goals of France. And it is far more diverse, and it has become nothing more, in his opinion, of course, than a very large trade area. Turkey's relations with the EU has been turbulent, reflecting the turbulence of Turkish politics. In 1970s, late 70s, when Greece applied for membership, Brussels Commission, which is the executive body of the EU, invited Turkish government to apply for membership, saying, we'll admit you together. And at that time, the Social Democratic government of Turkey basically said, we're not interested. Our model is Norway, and Norwegians have twice rejected joining the European Union. And thus, Turkey did not apply, and then experienced that horrible coup d'etat, military takeover in 1980, and relations with the EU were frozen for 4 or 5 years. And with transition to civilian rule in the 80s, in 87, the country applied for membership. European Union at that time said, not ready. This is too complex, you have to wait, and said, we'll find another solution for the short term. That turned out to be a customs union agreement with the EU in 1995. Basically, what that means is all the European Union countries and Turkey have the same tariff import tax schedule for non-members. So if you sell something to Turkey from the United States, you would be facing EU tariffs rather than Turkish tariffs.
Right.
And then in the subsequent years, Turkey became a candidate, first rejected, and then there were crises, negotiations, became a candidate, and last year the European Union said, if all goes well, accession talks with Turkey for eventual membership will begin October 3rd, 2005. That day came, but then, as you know, we had some very interesting objections from Austria.
Yeah.
And it took 3 days of very hard negotiations in the EU capitals, plus Washington got involved, and talks started. Austrians backed down, and now Turkey is starting accession talks with the EU, which covers 35 areas of negotiations. You know, for ordinary Americans, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
It basically means that the Turkish officials now received over 100,000 pages of EU law to be absorbed into Turkish system. In other words, the Turkish system will have to become like the EU system in every aspect of life, including measures, standards, health codes, etc., etc. And how long will that take? Who knows? And once they've completed, then a decision will be made for accession, at the very minimum 10 years, in my opinion.
So the other, 10 countries that were accepted last year, did they go through the same process for acceptance?
Yes, they all did. It took 5 years. And they were, it was a package deal. It wasn't country by country, even though each country was evaluated individually. But the accession treaty covered all 10 countries. So they all joined at the same time rather than in a sequential way.
So that's not the case for the Turkey.
No, in Turkey it's one application. And like Turkey, there is Croatia. Accession talks are going on with Croatia. But two other countries have completed basically most of the accession requirements. Those are Romania and Bulgaria. And the treaty was signed, accession treaty, and they're likely to join together in 2007.
Okay. In real life, what would be the changes that is required? I know there are some like adjustment to legal system or human rights records and this and that. What are the obstacles, in your opinion, for Turkish government to comply?
The obstacles I see are in practice. The laws have changed in the country, but it's the implementation process. Mm-hmm. And changing the minds of the people, the framework, the way they think, the way they act, that what is right and what's wrong in terms of democratic practices, rights mm-hmm. of minorities, rights of individual citizens towards one another. The whole concept of transparency of rule and independence of the judiciary, civil-military relations, supremacy of civilians over military in ordinary affairs mm-hmm. of the government, everything has to change. The laws aren't done. It's now the implementation process, and none of those chapters that pertain to particular fields of harmonization will be considered complete until the EU says it's done. So this is a very long and hard process. For example, in the rural villages, there are certain ways of making cheese. Doesn't fit the health standards of the European Union. So it has to change. Already people are saying, what does this mean? I have to change the way I make cheese. Who's Brussels to tell me what to do? But you wouldn't be able to market it even locally unless you change them once you're in the EU. Because EU law is supreme. In essence, what happens is if you join the European Union, you're entering into a complete economic union with 25 other countries under one set of laws. Mm-hmm. And those laws will be like our federal laws that every state has to abide by.
Correct.
And that's difficult to grasp when you're used to having independence and sovereignty on your own and you haven't had to listen to outsiders. Now you have to live under EU law and practices and change your ways. It's not easy. It took even the member countries, the old ones like Italy, decades to adjust to these things. And there's still problems.
Before I go to the example you gave about Norway and actually the constitution have been rejected in several of the most important countries of mm-hmm. EU. I'd like to ask, what do you see really the reason behind those resentments to accept even going into negotiation and accepting the application, like the last-minute discussion from Austria or some other countries that they mentioned that, coming in even though the government of Turkey is not a religious government, it's an absolute secular society, but they are still considered as a Muslim society, and they have some problem with accepting it. And some observer obviously note this as a resentment of a Christian club, or they call it more than being just an economic club. It's considered to be, to have some, and I guess if I remember correctly, during the discussion of constitution, you mentioned Giscard d'Estaing, that there was this issue on the table, whether they want to call it that European has the Christian values or not.
Yeah.
Do you see that playing a role in this resentment and the resistance?
Sure. Among some circles, yes, absolutely. It's always been there because for some people, European Union is a Christian club. Even though religion has never been a prerequisite for membership in the European Union, and it never has been. It's not in the treaties. It's never been in any document that says a country has to be a Christian country to join the European community and now European Union. However, public opinion and views of certain politicians are a different thing. For example, during the early days of drafting the Constitution for European Union, there was a intergovernmental conference. A commission was set up. Giscard d'Estaing was heading that, and he was sitting in the audience of all the representatives of member states and candidate countries, which included Turkish delegation. He made it quite clear that in his opinion, Turkey never ever will qualify to be an EU member state because it is a Muslim country. And for him, there was simply too much differences in the social culture and religious values, and it would simply spoil the EU. And that created a lot of scandalous situations, if you can imagine what how the Turks reacted. They got up and left. And then here is a former president of France saying things like this, and there is a growing Muslim population in Europe.
Right.
So how do they feel? I mean, some of the problems we're experiencing in Europe are basically created by the Europeans for marginalizing these people into ghetto life.
Especially in France.
Yes. And so you have that situation with North Africans in France. You have the Turks in Germany. And it's not assimilation. It's not mixing of diversity either. So on the one hand, the European documents and the ideals and what they preach is all about diversity, growth of Europe, and they've never ever said officially that Europe's borders end when you reach Turkey. In fact, during the 80s, when I used to interact with the European officials and discuss the future of European Union, and we still had the Cold War, the Brussels people were talking about Europe that was larger than, let's say, what the Americans and NATO types would be thinking, east-west. And I thought, these people are crazy. They're thinking about including Czechoslovakia, Romania, Poland, and we have the Soviets there. You know, are they dreaming or not? In those days, there was never a question about the significance of Turkey for Western Europe. We had the Soviet threat. And the Turkish army was pinning down 17 divisions of Soviet troops right across its border. It was a frontline country, just like the United States. So as long as there was such a threat over Europe, no question. End of the Cold War, and everybody started saying, well, are they really European or not? What are they? And so forth. In some of the countries in European Union member states, there was a major push to include Christianity as the fundamental foundation of the social value system of the European Union in this constitution. That was ultimately rejected. But as you can see, there are a lot of political parties on the right in these member states. They would like to have that. They would like to introduce religious values and religious aspects in political life to water down secularism in the European Union. That didn't happen, but when it came to Turkish application and accession talks to begin, the issue of Islam and what this would mean for the European Union's future became a rather heated subject.
And I guess light of elections in Germany, one of the, campaign slogans from Angela Merkel who is now going to head the cabinet, and she'll going to be the first woman chancellor of Germany, was that she is against Turkey membership in EU. Of course, the way the election turned out, she doesn't have really the majority that she needed to be one-handedly deciding on this, and Social Democrats are also part of it. And I believe the foreign ministry is going to be from Social Democratic Party. What do you think that will have as far as effect goes? Because Germany really has real power in EU's decision-making.
Yeah. Her campaign of no for eventual Turkish membership. And she said, just like Austria, we would like to have another option at the end of the day, that we could have special partnership rather than full membership for Turkey once accession talks are completed. And she made this a campaign issue,
right,
hoping that she'll get a majority in the parliament. It backfired. And she has backed down from that. With this coalition, this super national coalition with the Social Democrats, that issue is over. Social Democrats repeatedly emphasize that there is no turning back on the word of the EC and then the European Union, that EU cannot make a promise, sign treaties, agreements, and then back away from those commitments and still pretend that it can be a reputable institution.
Okay, let's listen to just a little piece of music, and then we'll be back and continue our discussion with Dr. Yasilada about the membership of Turkey in European Union.